What does it mean to be responsible? Accountable. To take ownership. To recognize that something you've said, something you've done, perhaps something you participated in, is now up for question or judging or punishment. There's all kinds of ways to use the word responsible and accountable, to be credited with something. Accountable and being accountable and having responsibility doesn't necessarily always have to be negative. You can be responsible for pulling over to the side of the road and helping someone fix a flat tire. You can be held accountable for maybe donating clothes at the start of winter for people to have coats. So, but usually when someone says accountability, responsibility, it always sounds very ominous and dark and like a type of punishment. Well, maybe that's because the majority of us have a consciousness of guilty knowledge that we haven't always been accountable and responsible when we should have. It's kind of interesting about the human mind, because a lot of times, if you're truly innocent and you have no knowledge of something when a subject or something occurs, it takes you by surprise, but you really don't have any type of a negative reaction because you have no experience, no knowledge of that. But you'll see something on television, or you'll hear people talking, or you'll see somebody going through something that is negative, and they're skating, they're escaping, they're not getting what is due to them, and they're not being accountable, they're not being responsible. And you get kind of quiet because it rings true for you. It reminds you of something you've said, something you've done. And this particular time is reminding you that you've done something just like that yourself. We all know that cartoon where there's an angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other, and one is saying, "Do good, do good." And the other one is saying, "No, have fun, do bad." And it's just back and forth, back and forth. It's like one step forward to two steps back. But what's interesting about that is if you listen to the shoulder where the little devil is, well, that's not your fault or my fault. Like that old comedian used to say, the devil made me do it. I need an exorcism. I'm possessed by demons. It's that old nasty Satan has got me in a chokehold. No matter what you say or what you believe, as far as Christ is concerned and Scripture, when it comes to accountability and responsibility, it's 100% on each one of us. There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues, or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Today's date, the 26th of January 2016, and it is just about 7 or 8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on this Tuesday night. It is the last Tuesday of the month. We're here in the barn broadcasting another show that you've never heard before. Speaking of never heard before shows, I always forget to do this, so I just thought of it and I want to make sure. Jim and I are fully aware, and we think about you frequently, the folks that just don't have an opportunity to listen live. And you always listen to the show each week, just not on Tuesday nights, as it streams 24/7. And you don't get a chance to send a text, and you don't want to send an email because it's like a dollar short and a day late kind of thought, which you still can send us emails. And we just want to let you know you're out there listening, and we wanted to say hello to you. So we recognize that you're out there, and welcome to all the new listeners and the people who listen to the archives. Well, see, I was accountable and responsible to all the listeners. The interesting thing about accountability and responsibility is that it's kind of like grandma's chicken soup. How much salt does that soup really need? Because everybody has their own opinion, their own idea of what it means to be accountable and responsible. Well, Jim and I are here tonight to tell you to relax. Don't worry about it. Because that pesky little book, the Bible, Scripture, has defined it perfectly for all of us. Which, in everyday language, means we all miss the boat. We all fail. Why? That's because Scripture says that all your sins are forgiven. All your sins will be forgiven. So it knows that we don't really understand what it means to be accountable and responsible. Because when you are accountable and you are responsible, you take credit for the good things, and you also acknowledge and take credit for the failures. Because Jim, as I was doing the opening to the show, and the music was playing, you said you had all kinds of scriptures that refer to responsibility, accountability, and to acknowledge the things about ourselves that, well, are less than glowing and positive.
I do. I really do. You know, the whole idea of accountability and responsibility, I mean, we're gonna put a couple twists on this in this next hour and a half, because obviously being a show that's talking about God and your relationship to Him, first and foremost, you think we'd come out here with all these scriptures that would just make you feel like you're connecting with God. But, you know, first and foremost, we've shared some things like this for years now, and that is the first thing that we need to do is help everybody to connect with yourself. And if you look at the life of Jesus, and you look at a broad stroke of what Jesus did in the Gospels and the things that he said and the issues that he commented on, because, you know, he didn't comment on every issue. There wasn't a necessity to comment on everything. But the things that Jesus did comment on, you can find that he really got into the heart of where everybody lives. Not just the religious things, not just the pomp and circumstance, not just the praise and the worship. And we thank God for praise and worship. I'm not making light of that, but I'm just saying Jesus wasn't just addressing when people have their hands lifted up in the air and worshiping God, or their voice is giving praise to God, giving utterance to his wonderful grace, and so on and so forth. He didn't just comment on that. Jesus got right down and started commenting to people concerning the very perspective that they had about the choices they made doing farming, doing bookwork, doing housework, making food, how they treated an animal. You know, when you really begin to look at the things that Jesus talked about, he pretty well described constantly the responsibility of just plain everyday life, and how an individual would own up to their choices, to their decisions, whether owning up to a choice and decision that was good and that was right and that allowed somebody to follow through, or whether owning up to a choice and decision that was completely off base and wrong so that they could turn, repent, and then find more grace to move forward. BJ made the comment tonight, and it's one we never want to forget. And that is the wonderful mercy of God to forgive us of all our sins. And that right there is a huge grace of God, that before we even take a breath the next morning to get up in the morning out of bed, grace has already prepared, if you will, the table, and spread on that table is all the forgiveness you'll need throughout that day for the choices that you could, should, or might make. Well, that's liberating. That's freeing for you. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I know it's going to spoil the show a little bit for BJ, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyhow. I'm going to give a golf example. Oh, here we go. You know, playing with some of my friends, because we're obviously just amateurs and just having fun, but, you know, you can get over, you can get into a tense situation. Maybe you're playing, and it's not necessarily you're playing one another as much as maybe you're even playing great, and now it's starting to get to you that you're playing so well that, oh my goodness, I don't want to mess up. And you get to the tee box, or you get to your shot, or you're standing over the putt, and you go to swing, and the tenseness or the pressure of that shot causes you to flinch. You're not loose, you're tight, you're tense, and you don't make a good shot, you don't make a good swing. Well, you know, if we're on the course and this doesn't really mean that much, you'll have a guy say, hey, do that again, I know you can do that better. And you put another ball down and you just make the most beautiful swing and you hit it perfectly. And we always say things like, well, the guy behind me, he could be on tour. In other words, when there's no pressure, you can really make a good swing. And you know, the fact that all sins have been forgiven takes the pressure off you so that you can be accountable to yourself first and foremost. BJ?
What?
Any thoughts about that?
Nope. I'm not going to comment about golf.
Well, no, I didn't want you to comment about golf. That was just an example. But the whole idea of the Lord freeing us up so that we can be accountable to ourselves and be responsible to our choice is what really puts you on a path to begin to find God.
Well, it can, if you, I guess for lack of a better way to say it, it can if you choose wisely, if you really understand what's going on.
Right.
There's no training anymore for responsibility or accountability. It's taken out of our society on every single level.
Yeah.
There's a term that I cannot stand. It irks me whenever somebody says it. I'm really sorry, but I'm just doing my job. So what they're saying is look, I work here. I'm an employee. I get paid to do this, but I don't want you to hold me accountable, responsible, because this is just what the job entails. That's not me. I want to be let off the hook because it's just me.
Right.
I think that that's one of the weakest, most infantile statements that somebody can make.
Hmm.
If you don't think it's right, or if you say, I'm sorry, I know how you feel, it's really bad, but there's just nothing I can do. I'm just doing my job. I just hold their feet to the fire and say, well, then you could get a job somewhere else. So obviously you really don't care about this or me or what's going on, because all you care about is money. We have taken accountability and responsibility out of the workplace. We've taken it out of the classroom where quote unquote, no kid is left behind. I know a bunch of kids around the ranch who they're not idiots. They're not stupid. They just need some good punishment.
Uh-huh.
And they don't go to normal school. They go to bad kid. I can't pass a grade school. In other words, they go in the morning and they're out by 11 or 12.
Hmm.
And they make sure that they keep them going so they graduate on time, so they're not held back. It's like alternative school at school for kids that, quote, unquote, can't make the grade.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard of something recently that said they're trying to pass a law where you can't fail a kid.
Yeah. Okay, so that means that think about it. If you know you can't fail.
What's your incentive?
Why study?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Why worry if you get an F? So, in other words, they want to take the responsibility and accountability out of school, which they pretty much already have. If you look at sports, they've done the same thing. You used to have to try out and try your hardest, and you know what? You may not make the team. And maybe the coach would say, you know, you're not good enough, but if you keep practicing, we could probably use you next year.
Sure.
Well, there is no more accountability. Everybody makes the team. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a ribbon. No one, quote unquote, is left behind. So there's no accountability, no responsibility to do your best.
Right. You know, we were talking last night, Chloe, myself, and Aaron, on a conference call with a college recruiter for volleyball. And because Chloe's at that age right now and doing well enough in the sport where they start young, you know, recruiting these kids. And he, you know, he looked at her grades, and Chloe's holding a, you know, they have this weighted, what's it called? It's like they do a score that's called a weighted score, a weighted GPA, grade point average, and then a different one. But anyhow, she's carrying a 4.1 right now because of some of the AP classes she has. So he was going on and saying, Chloe, you don't realize how well you're doing. You know, this, you have to understand, a student, he said, everything about our recruiting is for you to get into a college to learn a subject so that you can get a job afterwards. I mean, the volleyball is just an avenue to get there. But you learning something and going to a place where you're going to be able to accomplish a goal, that's what we want to help you with. And he said, you don't realize how important it is for your studies to stay where they're at. Because, and this is what he said, we'll help somebody 10 times out of 10, we'll help somebody that has a great grade point average like yourself, that is a very good volleyball player, get a scholarship more than someone who's a great volleyball player that doesn't have good grades. And I said that because all he was doing is pumping her full of expectation, because it does what? It's going to cause her to make choices, be accountable to it. And that's kind of some of the questions that he asked. So what you're talking about in school here, we had an idea to or a chance last night to experience some of that with someone that understands the level of accountability and responsibility necessary to move to the next level.
The think for a second in your lives, folks, how many times you consciously and even subconsciously, it's like learned behavior. It's like a bad habit. You don't even know that you pick your nose. You don't know that you scratch your back pockets. You don't know what you do because you've been doing it so long that it's just part of who you are. It's like a nervous tick. You don't even know you have it. It's amazingly easy to fall into that habit with skating accountability and responsibility. I mean, frankly, why do we need to think about this? Why talk about this? What does accountability and responsibility really mean? What is the benefit of talking about this topic? Well, the benefit is grace, Christianity.
That's right.
The difference between heaven and hell.
A prayer being answered or not.
A lot of times I know there is a lot of people that listen to this show every week who pray constantly every day. Please, God, please. Please, Jesus, please. Amen. Oh, come on. Please, please, please. And nothing ever happens. And yet you think, well, I haven't robbed any banks. I haven't hurt anyone. I'm not looting. I'm not pillaging. No one's mad at me. I have a fairly decent credit rating. So why me? Because accountability and responsibility have nothing to do with a credit rating, how old you are, how much money you make, or how much money you don't make. Because we're talking about personal honor and character, about how you treat yourself, how you look at yourself.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with do these pants make my rear end look fat? No, this isn't about vanity. It's not about ego. It's about the practical living and being responsible and accountable to yourself. Because if you can't do it for you, what makes you think you can do it for Christ?
Right. You know, dealing with kids, you know, growing up kids, and I know that you've been around young people all your life with horses. But, you know, we obviously have, and for myself too, boy, I can nail my hide to the wall on this one. But, you know, a kid will say, you'll tell them to do something that's important and they don't do it.
Right.
And you call them on the carpet and they'll say something like this. Oh, I really meant to do it. I mean, I really did. I really meant to do it. But if you look at it very absolute, what you say you really meant means really nothing because you didn't do it. And if you forgot about it, it means it wasn't that important to you. Because it's very interesting, for instance, take a kid, a child, a young adult. They won't forget their phone. They won't forget to text their friends. In other words, the things that are important to them, they get it done. James talks about this very thing. He said, don't fool yourself. James chapter 1, verse 22. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you're anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. And then he says, act on what you hear. So look at James holding people's feet to the fire of responsibility concerned what they heard. I mean, you know, we all know this. Knowledge is extremely important. I haven't spent a fraction of the time in a library that BJ's upbringing has. But knowledge, you've told me stories, you know, about some of you and your friends, you know, that were in certain classes where If you guys really wanted to, you know, to investigate a particular topic, you'd all head over to the library together and spend the night there and just literally read two or three books on the subject, and then go do something you'd never even known how to do.
Yep.
And it was always the library. Or you'd come up with something. I remember you telling me one of your friends looked at you and said, "The library?" He goes, "Yep, I got at the library." In other words, what you did, what you accomplished, it was something new. And they knew the only way you could do that was you went to the library. Knowledge is so important.
I like books.
But knowledge without doing something about it is a lack of what? A lack of holding yourself accountable or being responsible. And James talks about this subject, and he really nails it. And he goes on to say, those who hear something but don't act are like those who glance in a mirror. They walk away, and 2 minutes later, they have no idea who they are or what they look like.
A perfect example of not being accountable and responsible on just a very small level is you're walking down the aisle of a grocery store and something is off the shelf on the floor. Doesn't matter what it is, a can of pork and beans, a bag of potato chips, a package of toilet paper. It really doesn't matter, but it's on the floor. And you got your shopping cart, and you're going down the aisle, and you come up to it, and you literally stop, and you look down at the item. And then, in a split second, you'll look to see where it goes. Did it get knocked off? Did they cram too many on the shelf? But it fell off and it's on the floor. And 9 times out of 10, people will just walk on by. They won't pick it up, put it on the shelf. And if you ask them and you say, "Why did you pick that up?" The really wiseacres ones will say, "Well, I didn't do it. I didn't pick it up, put it on the floor. Why should I clean up somebody else's mess?" Some will just, they'll just walk around it, smash it. I've seen people that will try to push it under the shelf so they can't see it. So, you know, out of sight, out of mind. I don't have to be accountable, responsible, or to rectify the situation if the item is hidden from everybody's point of view. But spiritual accountability, spiritual responsibility is a very tough thing to measure. It's even harder to verify.
Yeah.
Because unless you really, really know someone intimately, or you have a sweater or a jacket where you can stay warm in a fall or winter's day, and you honestly get to know someone before they try to hold you accountable or responsible. As technology grows, as we spend more time alone, our skills, our ability, our mindset to be careful, to be accountable, is coming to an end. Jim, I remember when computers first came out.
Right.
If you quit a job, if you stopped dating somebody, and all you did was send them an email, you were looked at as like a jerk. Cold-hearted, thoughtless.
Right.
Now, it's commonplace.
It's almost like breaking up with someone with a letter instead of face-to-face. Now it's a text message.
Yeah, or Facebook.
Facebook, right.
And they'll no longer say they're in a relationship. They'll say single.
Right, right.
You know, or other. Or some weird thing like that.
Right.
Make no mistake about it. It's tough seeing the look on somebody's face while you're saying something that hurts their feelings. Maybe they'll yell or scream. Maybe they'll get mad. Maybe they'll cry. Oh, it's just so much easier to do it over the telephone or over the internet. When you crash your car, wasn't my fault. It was an accident. Was it really? You know, if you really chew it down as fine as it'll go, you boil it down to gravy. There's no such thing as an accident between vehicles. Something was amiss. Something went wrong. Judgment and error, mechanical failure, lack to acknowledge and take responsibility for wet roadways or ice or snow or potholes or it's a gravel road, whatever, whatever. But technically, there's no such thing as an accident. When you crash a car, it's operator error. But yet, it's not my fault. It was an accident.
You know, I got a scripture here that points out the reason why the things that you're saying right there are very valid for the discussion of finding God. It goes on here, Jesus said over in John, actually Matthew. They're gone. There weren't many in there. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 1, Jesus here it says, the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him asked what he would show them, a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. No sign shall be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Notice Jesus brought in the idea that they could participate in something that was of this earth by looking at the signs in the sky, but they couldn't relate it to the signs of God. So I think this is real interesting that Jesus is using how people do life, the things BJ's talking about, the few examples that I've given, how you do life, the choices we make, so simple as if something were to fall, would you bend down and pick it up? You know, my wife, Erin, is very neat and very tidy, and in the house, obviously, by being so, she picks every little thing up. And over the years, you know, I've learned to become so much more conscientious of the small little things that you pick up just by being around someone that does it on a regular basis. You know, it's those small little things. Jesus is saying, if you're good at these things, you can get good at spiritual things. I think there's a great correlation here, and it seems like the scriptures that we're sharing with you tonight, they're really helping to make this point.
The not just with Jim's show, but any radio show, TV show, magazine, book, lecture class, retreat, whatever try to information you're trying to learn or to change your life, there's a junction that comes up. Kind of like you're on a road and there's not a sign, but it's kind of like it's not a T intersection. It's kind of a Y. There's a road that, a path that sweeps to the left, and there's a path that sweeps to the right. And which one's shorter, which road's smoother, which one has restaurants and clean bathrooms, you don't know. But once you head down the road, there's no turning back. You're committed. On a daily basis, every day, Well, let me start over. On a daily basis, when you go to bed at night, you're laying in your bed, you turn the lights off, and you're either starting to drift off to sleep or you know you'll be asleep in 5 or 10 minutes. And in the morning when you wake up, I mean, when you start to kind of get out of that cloud of sleep and you've got your wits about you, which usually takes about 2 or 3 minutes after you've actually woken up, whether you're still in bed or you stand up and start to walk across the room. In both of those instances, we all have an opportunity to change, to develop, to metamorphose from a caterpillar to a butterfly, to say, before we go to bed, this was the last day. This is the last day of that type of life and life choices. Or in the morning, it's a perfect day. It's a perfect day to start fresh. So many times when people give advice or they want you to lose weight or to find God or to take better care of your lawnmower, they talk about these big, grandiose, broad strokes and how things are drastically going to change. Well, most of the things that we accomplish in our lives are slow to come around. They're not instant at all. They're not quick. You don't get proficient at your job where you can do it with your eyes closed and you're the best person to do it because you've been doing it for your years, for years. That's not instant. That's a long habitual of doing the same thing over and over and over for years and decades. It's about seasoning. The point of what I'm saying is this. I'm proposing that you cut yourself some slack. Give yourself a break. And tomorrow morning, Wednesday, the 27th of January, try to be accountable and responsible on any level.
That's good.
No matter how small, right. How simple.
Right.
Tomorrow morning, just say, I will take accountability for this. You're in a convenience store and you spill the creamer, you drop something on the floor. You don't have to make a big deal. I'm not saying stand up and say, I just knocked over the creamer and I'm going to pick it up off the floor. I'm taking responsibility for this. That's not the way to win friends. No, I'm just saying pick it up. Don't look for acknowledge or credit. Make the change for you, not who you're with.
Right.
Do things for your spirit, your soul,
yep.
For your character, and not for the benefit or accolades or acknowledgement of even your family and friends.
Yep, that's good.
Who cares?
Yeah.
You don't care about their little achievements. They're certainly not going to care about yours. And that's not the point. The point is to retrain ourselves to slowly but surely, at a snail's pace, one step at a time, to start understanding what it means to live a responsible, committed, accountable Christian existence.
Right. Very good. I'm over in Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read scripture here. It's what Jesus was speaking about, and when I speak it here, when I read it, you're going to think it's exactly what BJ just said, because it is. Over here in verse 33 of Matthew 5, it says, and Jesus speaking, he said, "Don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk, saying, I'll pray for you and never doing it, or saying, God be with you and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. Well, again, notice the thought that BJ just shared. When you give yourself some slack, relax, and tomorrow, when you get up, just make it a point to be accountable to the smallest of little things. That even at a snail's pace, you're going to learn how to conduct your life in a responsible manner. And this type of mindset and activity of choices is exactly what causes prayers to work, for you to connect with God and to begin to experience Him on a regular basis. And this is why what I just read to you, if you again think of what we said at the very beginning after the opening, when I first began to share, I shared with you the life of Jesus, you would think, is all the extremities of all the worship and all the extra singing and the shouting and praise, which is all good in its own right. But when you look at Jesus talking, He's always bringing people back to the core of what's really in your heart and how do you do your life. Is your life an example of something that connects with God, or is it an example of a life that's far removed from God? We've said this for 4 years now, and it's a great statement. One of the few that BJ actually likes that have come from me. So I'm going to say it again. I'm just messing with you. How you do life is how you'll do faith. And if your faith isn't working, it goes back to how you do life. And these are the little responsibilities that begin to make faith work.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's a jet airplane taking off from the airport. And then we have a jet airplane landing. The point being is, Jim, you're not in the barn tonight. Where'd you go? You like this, don't you? Where'd you go?
I went to Toronto, Canada.
And where are you there now?
I am. Yep.
Folks, this show has been pre-recorded. We actually recorded it last Friday evening, which was the 22nd. So that was 4 nights ago on a Friday night. We were in the barn pre-recording this show because Jim is up in Ontario meeting some of our listeners.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them up there.
There's some
on the show.
That's right. Some of Robin's supporters
are
up there. And that's why if you've sent a text message tonight, why you haven't heard us mention your text message on the show, and if you've sent an email, why it hasn't been read on the show, because Robin and I are the only ones in the barn tonight. Robin is a little puppy. She's now getting real close to 10 weeks of age. But if you send an email, I will email you back. And make a comment like, hello, how are you? And you can ask me questions. If you send a text message tonight, well, it might make me laugh or cry, depending on how mean you are or happy. So if you want to send a text message tonight, the first word that you type is Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R. And then whatever text message you want to send to the barn for me and Robin, when you press the send button, it's just 5 numbers, 99-000. If you'd like to send an email to Robin and I and you'd like us to email you back, it's the name of the show, No capital letters, no spaces, just the abiding presence at, that little at sign, and then gmail.com. And we're talking about accountability and responsibility and what that means. You hear a lot of people in religious organizations talking about own your sins, acknowledge your sins. You're a sinner. You're a bad person. They don't want you to be accountable and responsible. They just want you to feel really bad all the time.
Yeah.
They want you to feel guilty, like you're just a piece of garbage and you're not worthy of anything. There's nothing in Scripture that refers to that type of mindset or thought or behavior.
No, the opposite.
Yes. Look, before you can fix something or adjust it, you have to acknowledge that it needs fixing or adjusting. That's accountability. That's responsibility. That is the essence of what repenting really means. It means to acknowledge that you've screwed up, you've made a mistake, that you say, I did. And I don't want to ever do it again, and I won't. And I do see the folly of my actions and how it made somebody feel, and I just don't want to be that person anymore. That's accountability. And when you choose to be responsible and then accountable, and you say, I want Scripture, I want the guys, I want grace to help me not to be that person and to do that, then you have repenting. You've humbled yourself. Think of how, I mean, whatever it is, wherever you are, at school or work or at a sporting event with friends or a movie, or you're in a room full of total strangers, it's really hard to be the cool kid, the one that everybody wants to be, or people to think that, wow, that guy is just better than me. Man, that woman is just a lot better than me. It's hard to be that person when you're accountable and responsible because you're willing to admit you screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not perfect. You're not the best. You're not at the top of the heap. You're not numero uno, you're just another person. That's the point. See, being accountable and responsible is not to beat yourself to death with a guilty club. It's just the opposite. Being accountable and responsible to yourself is so that you can relieve the inside feeling of failure, that haunting feeling. You know, at the beginning of the show, I said somebody does something and you get kind of quiet because you know how it feels, because either you're doing it or you have that guilty knowledge. When you repent and you're humble, it's a cleansing. Remember, Jesus' blood paid for something, and it wasn't a brand new bass boat.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm going to finish some thoughts over here in James in chapter 2, because you remember I shared there what James was trying to get across, a point, and there's some really good thoughts here as I'm going to share a little bit more. But James was making the point about being accountable, and he said, when you hear something, you need to do something with it. He said, don't be like those that hear but don't do or don't act. He said, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. So, in other words, you hear something that gives you such great hope, which when you hear something, it's kind of interesting. When we hear, we actually picture things that we hear. Our imagination is a wonderful thing. It almost acts like a movie screen. And when you hear somebody talking to you and they're describing things that can be described, it's very interesting how your mind will begin to actually picture the things that are being described. And the Bible, the rhetoric of the Bible, obviously, there's parts that are warning you against turning from a world that has at one point perverted you or manipulated you to Christ. But then the other parts of Scripture are amazing, giving you constant imagery so that you can see yourself just like Jesus and begin to respond like him. It says, if you hear something and you catch a picture and a glimpse of what it looks like, but you don't do something with it, it says you walk away 2 minutes later, you have no idea of who they are or what they look like. Or in other words, you have no idea of who you are. And he goes on further to say, but whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and he sticks with it, and is not, well, this is the Message Bible, it says, and he's not a scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action, that person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Folks, responding to this wonderful thing that Jesus has done for us and beginning to experience grace is where life really just begins. The other day, I'll share this story here that just begins to illustrate what we're talking about. I don't think I've shared this story before, BJ, and if I have, please stop me, because sometimes when I'm preaching a lot, you forget where you shared it the last. But one of the guys at the Wednesday night, he had some business of cutting some trees down and some limbs, doing some thinning out of trees, cutting off some dead limbs and all. And then working, I guess, on this woman's yard concerning all of her trees. Well, he said from the moment, and he's been coming to the Wednesday nights, and he's beginning to apply the understanding of these small little bit, wake up in the morning, begin to acknowledge God, become accountable, responsible, the things we're sharing today for his choices, his thoughts, his actions. And he's beginning to experience God throughout the day. And this is what he said. He said, I woke up that morning. He said, I spent some time with the Lord and immediately invited him to be a part of everything that I was going to do, knowing that I was going to go do this woman's house and all the trees that I'd be doing. He said, everything about my day was amazing. He said, every tree, every one that I worked on, he said, it just went so easy, so simple and so fast. And he said, and I'm conversing with God, enjoying him the whole time I'm doing this. And he said, I came around to the front. I thought I was done. And the woman came out and she said, you see this tall tree? It was about 30 to 40 feet tall. She said, is there any way that you can top that off? Because there were some dead branches up at the top. And he said, yeah, I think I can. He said, in fact, I think I can climb it and do it by just climbing the tree. He said he got up about 30 feet up in the air, which if you haven't been on a tree, that's pretty good when you're up there. And he said, when he got up that high, he realized, I'm biting off more than I can chew. I can't do this. And he said he started down. And while he's climbing down, you know, just being very careful, while he's climbing down, he said the thought came to him, how easy would it be if I had one of those trucks with those little baskets where they raise you up to the tree? He said, I could just lop this thing off and I could have it done in no time. He said he got down to the ground. And he said he had his back to the road and he was just staring at that tree, thinking about that. And he said it was just a passing thought. And he said in the background, he hears the noise of a truck coming down the street. And he said when it got loud enough to be right where he was at, he turns around and here he is staring at one of those trucks that has a basket on it and the hydraulics to lift him up and get that tree. And he said he's staring at this truck, and the truck just looks at him. The guy in the truck looks at him and then begins to go on his way and started to pull out of the neighborhood. And right when he started to pull out of the neighborhood, he said the guy put on his brakes. He backed up into a driveway and came back down the street, pulled right up to the house, and got out of the car or got out of the truck. And he's watching this whole thing unfold, and the guy gets out of the truck and he says, how long do you want to take? And how much of the tree do you want to take down? And he said, he yells out to the guy. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, I see you standing there. He said, I'm figuring that you probably need my help. He said, how much time do you want to take and how much of that tree do you want to take down? And he said, well, he said, I think if I had 30 minutes of your time, he said, I could finish this job. And he said, how about $60 for the job? And they dickered back and forth and came up with the price. And the guy says, all right, pulled up. He got up in that basket, took care of the tree. He said by time he hit the ground, got out of that basket, he said it was almost to the second, 30 minutes. He handed him the money, and then he asked the guy, he said, you know, I go to this meeting where this guy talks, and he said he doesn't talk religious, but he's trying to help us all to realize that God can actually be a part of everything that you do. And he said, I was just thinking about you, about a truck like yours, and here you pulled up. What do you think about going to one of the meetings? And the guy said, well, give me your info. I'd like to talk to you about it. Now, folks, listen to that. Paul made a comment over in Ephesians chapter 3, and he said, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. He didn't even ask God for the truck. It was just a thought. And yet God took that thought, and within seconds that truck was there, which means that guy's life that had that truck was orchestrated from the very moment he got up, his whole entire schedule, all day long, just for this gentleman that's coming to my meetings, because he's been connecting with God in these simple little things and holding himself accountable on a regular basis. It opens the door for God to do stuff in your life that causes you to sit back and say, that's too cool. That's way too God to be just a coincidence. Kind of a cool illustration, isn't it?
It is. Not bad. Not bad. The I don't think this should be a homework assignment, but I want to give everybody a mindset to consider. If you're listening to the show and you're a kid, it still applies to you and you can still do this. Tomorrow, start to retrain your mind. Because that's what we're talking about here. You can't get a prescription from the doctor. You can't watch some nut job on TV self-help thing. No one can do it for you but you. And that is tomorrow, Wednesday morning. Start. When something comes along that's unfamiliar, or maybe it's something that just happens once a week, take a pause, just stop, and think whether it's a good choice. Is it prudent to what your rest of your day is going to be doing and going on? Or is it kind of a knee-jerk reaction that isn't really going to serve your needs at all? But take a moment to see how you choose, what your thoughts are, what you decide. Because whether you're going to bale hay or make blueberry muffins, there is a recipe for success.
Yeah, that's good.
And the recipe for success, when it comes to being accountable and responsible to yourself, because if you cannot, in good conscience, be aware of taking responsibility and accountability for your own choices. Notice I didn't say your life or your world or your kids or your job or school. All I said was the stuff we choose. If you can't be accountable and responsible or learn to be that way through day-to-day accomplishments and habits, how can you ever be accountable and responsible to God?
Yeah.
How would you think you could do that? You're stuck in a wheelchair. You can't walk. You can't feel your shoes or your socks, but yet you're ready to commit to a 10-mile hike with God? That's what we're talking about here. Until you learn to get out of that wheelchair and start
right.
walking
right.
and tripping and falling and getting up and learning how to use your legs, how could you ever walk with grace? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the baby steps, relearning how you choose, relearning how the choices that are in front of you will affect your life. Are you spending most of your time worried and hiding out from being accountable and responsible for really crappy bad choosing and mistakes? Or can you sit back with a little smirk on your face and be pleased as punch because the small choices you make are showing really good results, so you're accountable and responsible for some really nice things happening?
You know, Aaron sent me this today, a picture.
What's it
say? A picture
Aaron,
of a sign.
What's this? It says,
I just thought of what you were saying.
Why don't you read that? Read okay. that.
She just sent me this morning. She found this. She said, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is you're stupid and make bad decisions.
Well, did she send that to you because that's the way she feels about you?
Oh, no. She was just sending it because...
Are you sure it was a joke?
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't a joke. She was sending it because of the things that we preach and just showing that this is a sign that agrees with some of the things that we're trying to get across.
You're sure she's not trying to, like...
No.
I'm sorry.
Thanks
resist.
Very much. I appreciate
what do I
that.
Care? You're not in the barn right now.
That's right.
You're in Ontario, Canada, meeting
I
really
am
nice
in
people.
In Canada.
Hey, speaking of being responsible and accountable, I owe a special personal thank you to Breakfast Ed.
Breakfast Ed.
Because when you were down south in North Carolina, he wanted you to pass along a message to me about helping Ranger or Robin.
Yeah, no, actually,
I do that all the time.
Actually,
Robin.
He sent this.
Oh,
just
he
recently.
Mailed it.
Yes, my mom just got it out of the post office box and gave it to me, and it said. Yeah, it said.
Oh, okay.
Pass this along for the Robin Fund.
The Robin Fund.
Yeah,
I like that. We gotta come up with a name for all the people that help Robin and support Robin.
Robin's Hood.
Robin's Hoods.
Robin's Hood, yeah.
Robin's Hoods. If you want to, let's see. Robin's, I don't know. I'll come up with it. We'll come up with something for the people that send envelopes and letters I signed up for something.
Yes.
I was in a store. I don't know why I did it. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it was the guys. I haven't decided yet. But I was in a store I bought the neatest pooper scooper.
Okay.
It is spring-loaded with a handle. And it's got massive teeth for grabbing. It'll pick up.
Sounds like it'll pick up an elephant.
Anything. Anything. Yeah. It'll pick up a basketball. And, well, maybe not. Well, it would if it wasn't inflated fully with air. But anyways, because Robin seems to like to, well, I let her loose in the indoor riding arena, the horse arena. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in there to hurt it. It's really big. You know, there's a lot of room for a puppy to run around. And she likes it, you know. And, well, it's a dirt floor, so she uses it. And mm-hmm. I don't care. That's, you know, in bad weather, that's where she's going to go anyway. So I bought a pooper scooper while I was in the store. And there was this lady talking to a man. And he had questions about his dog. And they had a place where you could sign up for dog training lessons.
Oh.
They had different levels. But they all cost the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to her, and I thought, well, she's pretty smart. Well, the guy left, and she says, can I help you? And I says, no. And she says, well, you must have a dog, because I had a shopping cart with a pooper scooper and a toy fox that the tail goes squeak, squeak, squeak.
Okay.
You know, I was buying toys for Ranger. I mean, Robin, God, I do that all the time. I just can't understand why I keep doing that. Buying toys for Robin makes me feel bad when I do that for both dogs. And I said, I do. I have a small puppy. And she says, well, it's almost old enough for our beginner's class. And I says, well, what's your beginner's class? She says, well, you work with your puppy, and we teach you how the puppy to sit and stay and come and know its name and have good manners and all this. And I'm thinking to myself, people pay for that? You know, I go, they don't want to do it themselves. And she says, why don't you tell me what you do with your puppy? And I says, well, every time my puppy goes to sit, I say, sit. I says, every time it goes to the bathroom, I say, go potty. And I says, every time it goes to lay down, I say, lay down. Every time it comes to me, I say, come, come, Robin, come. She says, why do you do that? And I says, well, because if I do it every time, the dog is going to think I'm commanding it to do it. So the sound of my voice, the sound of the verbs and the adjectives and the words, the dog is going to associate with those behaviors and movements.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, when I say go pee, it'll pee. When I say sit down, the dog will sit. It's about putting habits in its life every day. And she goes, that's really good. She says, I'm going to use that. And then she says, well, you should sign up for my beginner's class.
Hmm.
I did.
Are you teaching the class?
No. No. But okay. So anyways, I'm filling out this form. It's a pretty big form. I got to show that Robin's up on her shots and everything because, you know, it's a public place
right.
with other dogs. And I says, well, I don't want a bunch of dirty dogs around my puppy. That's exactly what I said. I said it just like that. I says, I don't want a bunch of, I said, no, I said it like this. I says, well, I don't want a bunch of dirty people and their dirty dogs around my puppy. And she just looked at me. She says, oh, no, this is a nice neighborhood. We get really nice people.
Uh-huh.
And I says, I'll be the judge of that. Well, you know,
yeah.
People don't realize, you know.
Right.
Because people say, I'd really like to go to the ranch and meet BJ. And what do you say?
I don't think so.
You go, I don't think so. You won't have fun. And so anyways, I'm just being me. And all of a sudden, this couple walks by. And this is exactly what she says. She says, oh, well, if she says, oh, hi, BJ. And I go, hi. And she says, are you going to be teaching dog training? Because if you are, we'll sign up for one of your classes. And the lady just happened to be on her cell phone. And she hung up the phone and she said, did those people say something about teaching? And I go, I don't know. I don't know what they said. And so she sits there and she says, I hope you don't mind, she says, but sometimes, she says, do you have a Facebook page? And I said, no, not really. You know, because it's actually for the radio show,
right,
and, you know.
Right.
And so she says, well, I usually like to maybe Google somebody's name or, you know, or something, you know, just to see. And I says, oh, I'm not really big on the internet. And I showed her my phone, which is like 12 years old.
Right.
Because I knew the last thing I want her to do.
Right.
Is to Google my name.
Right.
Or to go to Facebook. Because then she's going to either kick me out of the class.
Right.
Or, you know, I just want to go. You know, I just want to be Joe Schmo at the back of the room with my little puppy, you know, and
yeah.
stay away from the dirty people, their dirty dogs.
Right. Right.
I just want to do it. I've never done anything like this. And everybody always says I need to get out more.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought, well, I'll take a puppy class. So you're getting a kick out of this, aren't you?
Well, I am. I'm thinking of Aaron taking Muffin years ago, like 13 years ago. And
did it work?
Well, yes and no. I mean,
You have to see what you learn at this school. You have to then come home.
Well, no, no. I mean,
and apply.
She worked with it, but Muffin was so embarrassing because I've never met a dog that's more social.
Oh.
And he just wanted to go and play with everybody else and talk to all the other dogs.
Yeah.
So Aaron was running around constantly, and every single time she took Muffin.
Disruptive.
Muffin would go get so excited, he would pee or poop right in front of everybody. And then Aaron's like, oh, my gosh. So it was quite an experience.
I don't know what Robin's going to do, because she's going to go crazy. You know, and she goes crazy when she sees people.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm having everybody on the ranch, you know. I told you, you know, did you know I have a reward for people on the ranch taking a photo of Robin?
No.
You don't know about that?
No.
I'll have to tell you about that. So anyways, I signed up for the class. And so I discouraged this woman from, like, you know, hopefully. So we're going to take the class. Robin needs one more series of shots before she can safely go out in public.
Mm-hmm.
She's had two sets of shots. I want her to have her third, although she's really going to have them for quite a while. But, you know, every 3 weeks for quite a while. But after three, she'll be okay.
Right.
And the class doesn't take puppies, and so she's going to be 10 weeks and a couple of days, and have had her third series of shots. And the first class is Wednesday at 6 p.m., the first Wednesday of next month, February. And it goes for 6 weeks.
Wow.
They give you a certificate.
Yeah.
And here we go about accountable and responsibility. I says, does everybody pass the course? Does everybody get a certificate? She says, yes. And I go, well, what if they're stupid and their dog is stupid? Why do they still get a certificate? And she says, well, we can't fail somebody. Everybody is paid the same money, so everybody gets the same certificates. And I'm thinking, ah.
You should have said, if I pay more, can I get a better certificate?
So anyways, there's only going to be 6 or 8 dogs there.
Okay.
And it's going to be real interesting.
I'm going to die laughing if she ends up telling what you told her to do and using it like it's hers, and there you are in the class. I'll laugh.
Well, I'll tell you. Okay, but here's the reward. And this is, okay, then we'll get back on topic of talking about, what was it, fried chicken or picnics or something?
It was fried chicken.
Fried chicken, was it?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't know this until the radio show and all the listeners and people were supporting us getting a new dog for the show. But there is a particular breed of Labrador retrievers that point.
Mm-hmm.
They stick their nose out and their head straight. Their tail goes out straight. They lift one of their front legs, and they point like a lot of hunting dogs.
Right.
Okay, well, Robin is pointing. She's pointing at, she points it at the firewood. She pointed at the tractor. She points at a barn cat. She just, all of a sudden, she just literally like strikes a pose, points like a perfect statue, this little puppy. Well, I mentioned this on my Facebook page. And somebody who listens to the show, who I don't want to embarrass her and mention her name, Muriel Mattson, Florida. You know, I don't want to embarrass them. You know, I want to be discreet. Muriel Mattson in Florida contacted me on my Facebook page, you know.
Right.
But we'll leave them anonymous. Muriel Mattson in Florida, who said, take a picture of Robin pointing and please put it on your Facebook page. So I told all the employees on the ranch. See, I'm trying to get Ranger Robin socialized. So I'm having a lot of people walk her, play with her, you know, help her. And it's helping. So anyways, I told all the workers on the ranch, I said, here's the deal. If you take a picture with your cell phone of Robin in her pointing stance and post it on my Facebook page, I will give you $10. So now they're all picture crazy for Robin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to take one of Robin.
Sure. Have they so gotten this, any good ones?
Well, the person on this the person who spurred this on my Facebook page, who, you know, we don't want to humiliate or embarrass anybody, Muriel Mattson in Florida, said she'll fork out $10 to somebody. She says, I'll pay $10. So anyways, okay, back to fried chicken. As you know,
yes,
a lot of people like to grind up soda crackers or cracker crumbs and use that as a coating on your chicken. But fried chicken aficionados know that the crispiest of fried chicken is with potato chips.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So back to the show.
Yeah, James chapter 1 and
talks about coating
verse
fried chicken.
26 says anybody that fries chicken. No, it doesn't say that. It says anyone who sets himself up as religious. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? Stop for a second. I know that many of you are following along because that's part of our new way of doing things. I'm going to go to James 2 and verse 5. It says, listen, dear friends, isn't it quite clear by now that God operates quite differently? Okay, now I'm going back to verse 26. I'm making a point here about our subject tonight concerning responsibility and accountability. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God, the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from a godless world. Notice, and the reason why I read that about God operates quite differently is because, again, think about how, and all you got to do is just, if you've been around, and again, I'm not being hard in from the sense of trying to judge anyone at religious places, buildings, where people go to worship. But I'm just saying there is a manner of speech there. I've been doing this for so many years. People learn the manner of speech, certain phrases. Some people call it Christianese, almost like it's a language that people begin to learn and they speak it. Well, what happens if you're learning the language but you can't get it to work? Well, then you fit into this category here where James is talking about you're hearing things, but you don't do it, and you're deceived. You've lost the picture. You once saw a glimmer of yourself in a mirror, and now you've gone away, and you're acting like you didn't even see that picture. Well, see, James is trying to get to the heart of what really is important, and it comes to, and look at what he's saying. He's saying, reach out to homeless, loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from a godless world. Well, so many would feel religious by all the things they say, the phrases that they speak, and by having lots of praise in their voice, lots of praise throughout the day. And don't get me wrong, praise is wonderful, but maybe we should praise God for the things that we experience God doing in our life instead of praising Him, trying to get Him by merit to do something that we don't have in our life. So look at what James is saying. He's getting right to the heart of things and saying, there's opportunity for you all the time because there's all kinds of people that need things. There's all kinds of people that have issues and problems and could use a helping hand. Besides the fact that you're in a very corrupt world and there's so much opportunity to make choices to further connect you to the world, I'm asking you to just get up in the morning and remember, reach out to people when you see opportunity and make simple choices to connect with me all day long. And that, my friends, seems way too simple. But I'm here to tell you by experience myself and to tell you from experience from now, a whole bunch of people that I've been experimenting with this with, that people are starting to get it, and simple things like that are beginning to lead people into constant experiences with God doing stuff in their lives that they look back at and say, I've never had so many testimonies in all my life. This is really awesome. And it's not just a parking place. It goes from getting a parking place to no longer having a cold all winter long during the quote-unquote flu season. It goes from having a growth to the growth disappeared, and I really didn't even try. I just kept my mind on Jesus and enjoyed being with him all day long. See, if we can get ourselves out of the way, my, how much God can do in our lives.
Folks, hopefully there's a tidbit or two from tonight's broadcast that helps you to come to terms with this fact that very rarely in anyone's existence, whether they're 16 years old or 7 or 75 or 80, it's not very often that we truly are responsible and accountable for our own thoughts and actions as we can be. And I say this not to be a party pooper and make you feel bad about yourself. I say it so that you take stock in the fact that everyone has plenty of room for change. That no matter how content or peaceful you may feel, that there's more there. It's kind of like a duck on the water. You ever seen a duck on a pond? They look really super calm, like they're just floating around. But if you were in a submarine and you looked underneath the surface, their feet are just paddling a mile a minute. Mm-hmm. But they look really calm on the surface, but their legs are just going a mile a minute. That's kind of like what it is to have a human existence on this planet. We fool ourselves, we kid ourselves into thinking that things aren't that bad, that we're okay, and we're doing all right. But yet below the surface, that guilty knowledge, that conscience, is making us our heart beat fast, and we'll see our faults and our failures in others when they fail, or their faults come to the surface, because it's so much easier to identify with another person's failures and have it be reminders to us than it is to enjoy and be reminded of somebody's success and say, yeah, I know what that's like. It's the old adage, misery loves company. But through simple choices on a day-to-day basis and looking at things a little differently, it does not have to be that way. It isn't supposed to be that way.
Right, right. You know, you made some comments about seeing others and the things that you can see in others remind you of some of the things that we're sharing and talking about. I have a story here from Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. This is a story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus starts out here and says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by the other side. So, folks, if you think about it, the priest and the Levite represent religious people, people that are, it's their job, it's their duty, it's part of their profession to be, studied individuals in the things of God and responsible people for the things that they've studied, individuals that are to be not just studied, but leaders and examples of what it looks like when you do have a relationship with God. And look at what these guys do. They pass by on the other side intentionally to get away from someone that needed help. And it goes on to say, but a certain Samaritan. And if you remember, Samaria. Well, this area has many Jewish individuals, but you'll find that many of the Samaritans were individuals who, let's just say it like this, my wife is 100% Dutch. Dutch parents on both sides, so she's all the way Dutch. Well, my heritage is a little bit more mixed, but for sure, my kids are English and Dutch because I'm mostly English. So they're definitely mixed. Well, the Samaritans were individuals who were, in that sense, to the Jewish mindset, mixed, not 100%. And so those that were 100% Jewish, their mindset was, well, these people aren't good enough, you see, because maybe only one of their parents was Jewish by birth. So they're looked at as not important people. And notice what it says. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, in other words, money, and said to him, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay. Well, look at this story here that shows an individual's paying attention to the smallest of little things. And you can see that this individual has practiced this. And that's why in this type of situation, it's very normal for him to reach out and be what you might call someone responsible or accountable. And the individuals that you would think would be that way, the Levite and the priest, it's obvious that they're not practicing this because it's not a part of their mojo, the way that they do things. And therefore, when they come on a situation where it would be so easy to connect with grace, they pass it right on by and overlook it. A good opportunity for us to see the things that we're sharing tonight and how that the little things we do all day long do add up and connect you with God and begin to move your relationship with Him forward.
Folks, I want to say once again that if you sent a text message tonight and you didn't hear it read on the show, or if you sent an email, you didn't hear us read it on the show, but emails, you got a response from me and Robin. It's because Jim's up in Canada meeting a lot of our listeners while this show is being broadcast.
Hey, is Deco up there?
Yes.
I think so, right?
Yep. Deco is a Canadian dog. I still think that's a really cool name, Deco. I like it. I like it a lot. I think it's a real nice name.
Deco would be a male dog, don't you think? It sounds to me like one.
Well, I don't know, because everybody always thought Ranger was a boy. See, my first dog, her name was Rose.
Pretty simple.
But Ranger, a lot of times people would assume that it was a boy because...
Yeah, that's true.
Ranger. And it didn't bother me, but I just thought it was stupid. So that's why this dog, I picked Robin, an obvious female name, R-O-B-I-N.
Yeah, that's good. It's real good.
I ought to put her on a medical form. They said that I needed the closest nearest relative.
Yeah.
I wrote Robin Rickard.
That'll work.
With the phone number in the barn. So
yeah.
In an emergency, if I'm deader than a can of corned beef.
They're going to call Robin.
They'll call the barn.
And get no answer.
No answer. It'll just ring. There's no voicemail. And they'll say, what's wrong with Robin Rickard? Doesn't she answer the phone? Who is she? Is she his wife, his mother, his sister? It just doesn't say. It just says nearest living relative, Robin Rickard. Where is this stupid person? Why don't she answer the phone?
Yeah. That sounds like something you do. Well, what do you think of our subject tonight? Do you think...
Are you talking to me?
I am.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Think it's think it's been helpful?
Oh, I don't know if I can answer that. I'd like it to be helpful. I think that... I don't think I'm qualified to answer that. I think that's only something that a listener can answer as whether the show's been helpful. I think we've covered it well. I think we got many good points across.
You know, I hope for the sake of the show on Tuesday night, you know how much we always love people that really the shows that have more interaction are always the best shows. There's no doubt about it. And I get comments about that. Sometimes I get comments about the answers that we give to the questions of emails and texts more than I do the actual material that we share.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. And so we really love that, folks. And I know you're listening tonight. I'm not in the barn. BJ and Robin are here. But if you could sure send in some good emails and text messages, I know BJ will respond to them. Won't be able to say anything on the show, but he can respond to them personally. And then, of course, if there's anything really good there, the following week we can cover some of that.
We can bring it up.
There will be no Hardesty Library because I'll be gone through Thursday evening. So we'll reconvene the following week, which is, I have to get this here, see what day it is. The show will be the 29th. No, it won't.
Sorry?
No, the show, I'm trying to think of the day that the show will be.
This show?
Yeah, this show will be on the 26th.
Yeah.
And so we'll be back in the Hardesty Library February 3rd. We'll miss the 27th.
Okay. This is I get a lot of requests about information about Robin. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the last thing I'm going to say about Robin tonight and her pointing. So I talked about her pointing at things. Head and neck stretched out, nose, little front leg curled up high, tail just stiff straight, in a pointing hunter point position, even though she's a lab. I've taught her to, when she wants to go outside, excuse me, I hung sleigh bells, you know, regular horse sleigh bells. Mm-hmm. You know they're there. I've hung a bunch of sleigh bells on the front door of my house. And when Robin wants to go outside, she's supposed to go over and rattle the snot out of the sleigh bells. You know, ring, 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 I got to go outside, do my business. Well, she's figured out that she needs to go outside. Robin has figured out that she needs to tell me she can go outside. The problem is she waits till the last minute. So she'll tell me she has to go outside, and then she'll instantly go to the bathroom.
Hmm.
So I'm in my recliner watching TV, and I go, I wonder, where's Robin? And all of a sudden I hear ring, 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 crash, crash, ring, ring, ring. I start to get out of my chair. As I get around my chair, around the couch, headed to the front door, here's this little chocolate, 9-week-old chocolate lab puppy ringing the doorbells as she's going to the bathroom. And after she goes to the bathroom, there's this nice little ranger roof right by the front door and the sleigh bells. She literally stops going to the bathroom, takes 2 steps back, and
points.
Strikes a pose, points, like, I did it, and I'm pointing at it. How can you get upset?
Oh, it's got to be hilarious.
I wish I would have had a camera, but
the intentions are amazing.
They are. They really are. One of the workers did get a picture of Robin pointing today in the indoor arena, but it's not a very good picture. Hmm. She was kind of far away, and she says, "Is this worth $10?" And I says,
"No money."
Well, I said $4.
No money.
I said, "I'll give you $4 for effort," and I said, "Post it on the BJ Riggard Facebook page," but. She hasn't posted it yet, but yeah, I thought people would get a kind of a kick out of that. What do you think of the show tonight so far?
Well, I mean, I'm pleased. I think the material that we're giving, you know, we had a conversation earlier, and part of that conversation had to do with, you know, we can go on and talk about some other things, but with the ideas that come in through the texts and the emails over the course of time, you really get a picture of where people are at, and that people are still really at a very simple place of just wanting to connect with God in some manner or form that's real. And so instead of going on to maybe some other things and information, we're endeavoring to keep this still very simple and very real, and I feel that for that sake, we did a real good job.
You want to say something to music?
Yes, I do. Hey, that's great music. I'll say something to that.
Well, That wasn't my fault. I can't be accountable and responsible for that.
Did you pick that music?
Even though I'm over here with all the controls, the buttons, the switches, and computers. That's the point, folks. See what I was doing? I can't be responsible for that. I'm not accountable for that terrible piece of music that was paid for and what a ripoff it was. Well, no, I'm the one with the computer controls. I'm the one pushing the buttons.
There we go. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening tonight. And I trust that you're taking to heart the things that we say. And even if there seems to be some similarity from week to week, I trust that the way that we put things, the way that we say things, the stories, the testimonies, the scriptures that are given, and the stories of Scripture, bring it home to where you can begin to experience God all day long. Come on, He's right there for you. You don't have to work at this. This is actually, God believes, a part of your nature. It's kind of like a dog, a small little puppy would understand the bark of a mother dog. Same thing with any animal. Well, we, the children of God, understand the Lord's voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the ways of grace, more than we give ourselves credit for. So believe in your heart. Wake up every morning and let it be a fresh and brand new day to be accountable and responsible to the smallest of things and watch God do great things in your life. Thanks for listening.
Well, are you going to be back in the barn next week and do the Hardesty Library and stuff, or are you just going to be always on the road?
No, I'll be back next week.
And where are you tonight while I'm doing the show?
Toronto, Canada. So actually, the show night, I'm doing a meeting, and during the week, I'm actually doing a school that they have there. So. Busy all the way. I get home about 9:30 Thursday night. So, and then I head right off Friday for Fort Smith. So.
Oh yeah.
Busy time.
But you'll be here for the show.
Yeah, I will be.
Okay. Folks, we hope that you've enjoyed tonight's broadcast. And it's always nice to get emails from people when it's just me and my puppy Robin in the barn. Thanks for all the support for the show and the dog. I want you to take care of yourselves and your pets. And remember, in life, on a daily basis, there's always plenty of time to be responsible and accountable.
Sounds good. Good night, everyone.
Take care, everybody. Bye.